Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajikacharya Ashtotar Satasisiman Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vindika Jai Namacharya Shula Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sikho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sarigor Bhakti Vindika Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Nabodvip Dham Ki Jai Mathura Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Samavita Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Vol. Which text is it? Pardon? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 5, Chapter 4, The Characteristics of Lord of Rishabhdev, Text 4. Nabhihi tu yata abhilashitam suprajastvam avaryudya atipramoda bhara vivalaha gadgara aksharaya gira svairam grihita naraloka sadharmam bhagavantam purana purusham maya vilasita matihi vatsa tata iti sa anuragam upalalayam param nivritim upagataha nabhis tu yatabhilashitam. Shupadrashtvam abarudyati Pramoda bhara vivalo Gadgadaksharaya gira Svairam grihita naraloka Sadharmam bhagavantam Purana purusham maya Vilasita matir vatsa Tateti sanuragam Upalalayam param Nivrittim upagataha Nabhis tu yatavilashitam Supajastvam avarudyati Pramoda bhara vivalo Gadgadaksharaya gira Svairam grihita naraloka Sadharmam bhagavantam Purana Purusham Maya Vilasita Matir Vatsa Tateti Sanuragam Upalalayam Param Nivritim Upagataha Nabis Tuyatabilashitam Suprajastvam Avarodhyati Pramoda Bhara Vivalo Gadgadaksharaya Gira Svairam Grihita Naraloka Sadharmam Bhagavantam Purana Purusham Maya Vilasita Matir Vatsa Tateti Sanuragam Upalalayan Param Vrittim Upagataha. Suprajastvam Avarudhyati Pramoda Bhara Vivalo Gadgadaksharaya Gira Yam Gihita Naraloka Adharmam Bhagavantam Parana Purusham Maya Yasita Matir Vatsa Deity Sanuragam Upalalayam Param Nivritim Upagagataha Abhistu Yatabilashitam Suprajastvam Avarayujyati Pramoda Bhara Vivalo Gadgadaksharaya Gira Laram Grihita Naraloka Sadharmam Bhagavantam Purana Purusham Maya Vilasita Matir Vatsa Tateti Sanuragam Upalalayam Param Nivritim Upagataha Nabis Tu Bhimashitam Suprajastvam Avarujyati Pramoda Bhara Vivalo Gadgadaksharaya Gira Sairam Grihita Naraloka Sadharmam Bhagavantam Purana Purusham Maya Tateti Sanuragam Upalalayam Param Nivritim Upagataha. Ladies. Nabis Tuyatabilashitam Suprajastvam Avarujyati Pramoda Bhara Vivalo Gadgadaksharaya Gira Vairam Grihita Naraloka Sadharmam Bhagavantam Purana Purusham Maya Vilasita Matir Vatsa Tateti Sanuragam Upalalayam Param Nivritim Upagataha. Nabhi, King Nabhi, to certainly, yata abhilashitam, according to his desire, suprajastvam, the most beautiful son, avarudhya, getting, atipramodha, of great jubilation, bhara, by an excess, vivalaha, being overwhelmed, gadgada aksharaya, faltering in ecstasy, gira, with a voice, svairam, by his independent will, grihita, accepted, naraloka sadharmam, acting as if a human being, bhagavantam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, purana purusham, the oldest among living beings, maya, by yoga maya, vilasitam, bewildered, mutihi, his mentality, vatsa, my dear son, tata, my darling, iti, thus, sa anuragam, with great affection, upalalayam, raising, param, transcendental, nivritim, bliss, upagatihi, upagataha. Translation, due to getting a perfect son according to his desire, King Nabhi was always overwhelmed with transcendental bliss and was very affectionate to his son. It was with ecstasy and a faltering voice that he addressed him, my dear son, my darling. This mentality was brought about by Yogamaya, whereby he accepted the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Father, as his own son. Out of his supreme goodwill, the Lord became his son and dealt with everyone as if he were an ordinary human being. Thus King Nabhi began to raise his transcendental son with great affection, and he was overwhelmed with transcendental bliss, joy, and devotion.
The word maya is used in the sense of illusion. Considering the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be his own son, Maharaj Nabhi was certainly an illusion, but this was transcendental illusion. This illusion is required. Otherwise, how can one accept the Supreme Father as his own son? Supreme Lord appears as the son of one of his devotees, just as Lord Krishna appeared as the son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. These devotees could never think of their son as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for such appreciation would hamper their relationship of paternal love.
This is a very, very nice point, that illusion is required for the material world and for the spiritual world. There has to be some magic going on. Otherwise, one would not be able to do anything. One wouldn't even be able to imagine doing anything, because if he's too much of a philosopher, he thinks, well, God is everything, and I'm part of everything, therefore I'm God, and there's nothing for God to do, so I don't have anything to do. So he would just do nothing. And he would say, I can't, either materially or spiritually. There are those who spiritually reason like this, that I'm one with the Supreme and I'm everything and I have nothing to do, and so they don't do anything. or they try not to do anything, but they're unsuccessful at not doing anything. So, either and materially, the living entities have to be in Mahamaya illusion so that they can think that they're this body made of matter. Why? Because that's what they want. They have desires. And because they have desires which are not nice desires, they're not pure, therefore they're forced to be covered with the material body, just like a prisoner, when he goes into prison, they take away his civilian clothes. He says, well, I have a nice suit. I have several suits. I like to wear those suits. And where's the cleaners here? And who's going to iron my, and take care of my cufflinks? And they say, sir, take off those civilian clothes, put these on. How could I wear such a thing? This jail outfit. So, no, that's what you have to wear here. So, now, they tell him, but don't feel bad, because when you finally get free from the prison, we'll give you back your clothes. We're keeping them in a locker for you. So, and that's like that. We get these different attire when we come to the material world. We get this material body, the jail outfit. But when we become rectified after serving our term, then our original spiritual form is given back. Mukti hitva anyata rupam svarupena vyavastiti. The real nature of the living entity is that real liberation means when one gets his spiritual form revealed or returned or uncovered, either way, whichever way you wish to look at it, but that eternal form is there because that's the nature of the soul. The soul is not a material body. It's not. There's a misconception amongst some traditions. They say, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. So my soul, who's speaking? Who's speaking that this is my soul? That would mean the body. So the body is saying, my soul, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die, so who's I again? Who's I that's going to die, because he's already taken my soul. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Again, my soul, that's a misconception, misunderstanding. It's the soul that has the body, not the body that has the soul. So therefore you can see why they get confused and why it's difficult for them to transcend and to give up material activities, because they're misunderstanding, thinking they're the body. So that's illusion when we think we're this body. That's Maha Maya. And then the other type of Maya, the other illusion, is nice illusion. Nice illusion is favorable for the living entity. Just like, for example, let's say there's a child, and the child has a serious disease. So the doctor says to the parents, your child has to take this medicine, but it's very bitter medicine. They say, well, doctor, my child doesn't like anything bitter. He'll spit it out. He says, yes, I know. Therefore, we put it in a sugar solution. Oh, but that's illusion, doctor. I don't want my child to be subject to illusion. Well, you decide. If we don't give the child the medicine, it dies. So, all right, then I'll take the illusion. But that illusion is good for the child. It's not a bad thing, and it's not presented in a negative way or a harmful way, but only positive. Well, that's Krishna. And Krishna has a whole arrangement. The whole spiritual world is simply entertainment. Everyone likes entertainment. We go to Disney World. We want to be entertained. We go to the movies. We go to the theater. We go to a restaurant. We want entertainment. We have a friend. We have a girlfriend, a boyfriend. We want to be entertained. What are you going to do for me? For my senses? For my mind? So that's the spiritual world. What do you want for your senses? Everything's there. Chintamani, prakara sadmasu, kalpa briksha. Kalpa briksha means desire tree. The spiritual world is full of desire trees, which means entertainment. You just say what you want, and it's immediately there. It's immediately provided for you. Yeah, everyone will say, well, I'd like to go there. No, you have to be qualified to go there. You can't go with your dirty desires, because then you'll desire horrible things. Like, there was one person, he worshipped Lord Shiva, and he had a desire. So Lord Shiva said, yes. Lord Shiva's Ashutosh. He's easily pleased. He said, just whatever you like. He said, I want to have the benediction that whosoever head I touch with my finger will crack into so many pieces. Lord Shiva said, yes. And now then, as soon as he got the power, he went to touch Lord Shiva's head, because he wanted to have Bhavani. He wanted to have Lord Shiva's wife. She's very beautiful. So just see what kind of a troublemaker. And actually, it turned out that Lord Vishnu had to save Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was being pursued, stalked by this demon who was going to touch his head and kill him and take his wife. He was traveling at mystic speeds, but this demon had the mystic power also. Demons also get mystic powers. Demons are also, yogis can be demons, and demons can be yogis. It's not that yogis are all good. There can be bad yogis. Just like, well, there's so-called yogis who are all bad. Any so-called yogi who's not really practicing yoga, but he wants to be known as a yogi, he's a bad yogi. That's demoniac. So one may get mystic powers by performing austerities. Hiranyakashipu performed austerities, and this Vrikasura, he performed austerities. He was cutting off parts of his body, putting him into the fire. He wanted to get benedictions from Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva can give so many benedictions because he's a great yogi, Yogeshwara. Anyway, he was being pursued by this demon with this benediction that he had given. And fortunately, Lord Vishnu appeared as a little brahmachari right in the path. He knew the path they would take. So he was there, and when the demon went by, he said, oh, I know you. I know your father. He called him by his intimate name. He said, how do you know me? He said, I know your father, and this and that. He said, where are you going? He said, I'm chasing Lord Shiva. Why are you doing that? Well, he gave me a benediction that I could touch his head. And oh, another benediction? What do you mean another benediction? Well, he's been giving out false benedictions all over the place. What? Lord Shiva? Yeah, everybody knows. Don't you know? I didn't know that Lord Shiva ever... Yeah, it's a big thing. He's giving out all kinds of benedictions that have no power. Everyone's complaining about it. Anyway, if you're not sure, touch your head, and then when you see that it doesn't work... So that was another illusion. That was a nice illusion, because he thought, well, yeah, that makes sense. That's a ridiculous thing, to take a chance like that. But he did. He was, well, that makes a lot of sense. He trusted this little brahmachari. Brahmacharis never tell anything untrue. He trusted this little brahmachari who looked so innocent. And he touched his head and it cracked. And that was the end of it. And then he, and this Vishnu, he spoke to Lord Shiva, said, from now on, please don't give out such benedictions. They're really troublesome. So that's the thing, that if you bring in souls that have impure desires, then what will they do with the kalpa briksha trees? They'll ask for all kinds of demoniac, harmful things, harmful to themselves and to everyone else, and they'll ruin the atmosphere. So to get to that spiritual place where there's unlimited entertainment, that's good entertainment, it's like when we were young, they would say, you know, good, wholesome entertainment. They try to get you, and that's what they're still doing. They think sports is good, wholesome entertainment. Go to the football game, eat hot dogs and drink beer. That's good, wholesome entertainment. And scream, and then afterwards. So they don't know what wholesome entertainment is. But they want that, but they can't get it in the material world because there is no wholesome entertainment here. The only wholesome entertainment is to import Golokera Premadana Hari Nama Sankirtana, to import from Goloka Vrindavan this special, divine, transcendental, blissful entertainment, glorifying the holy names of the Lord, glorifying the glories of the Lord, just like reading books about Krishna. That's also Sankirtan. And distributing books, that's also Sankirtan. And hearing about Krishna, all these things, this is Sankirtan. Sankirtan movement. It's all entertainment. It's a festival. It's a constant festival. When Krishna entered into Dvaraka and Mathura, it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that for the residents of those cities, Lord Krishna was a festival for the eyes. In other words, everything about Krishna's form is a festival. What is a festival? A festival is a place where you go and everything's nice. There's music, there's nice sounds, there's nice people, everyone's nice, it's colorful, it's beautiful, there's food to eat, there's enjoyable things, there's no work, there's no taxes, there's no bad things, bad smells are not allowed. They make everything nice at a festival. So Krishna is... His form is a festival for the eyes. There's nothing in Krishna's form that isn't pleasing. His lotus feet are pleasing. His lotus head is pleasing. His lotus mouth is pleasing. Therefore, lotus, because lotus is pleasing. We don't just say, you know, where are Krishna's feet? We don't say, where are Krishna's feet? We say, where are Krishna's lotus feet? Because their lotus, they're attractive like lotuses, they're fragrant like lotuses, they're tasteful like lotuses, everything pleasing. That's the spiritual world, everything pleasing. Because Krishna and his abode are absolute. Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu. Everything there is Chintamani, of the same transcendental nature as the Lord. There's no subordinate, there's nothing inferior there. Everything is Advaita, is without duality. Here we have something inferior and something superior. Duality. But in the spiritual world, there is no superior or inferior. Everything is transcendentally superior. Not only superior, but the most superior. The non-devotees, the grammarians, and they have a difficult time because sometimes it's described in the Vedas that Mathura is perfect, Dvaraka is more perfect, and Vrindavan is most perfect. They immediately object. Ah, this is not proper grammar. You can't have more perfect. Perfect means there's nothing better, but then you're saying more perfect, and then most perfect. So they can't understand it. But that's because they don't understand that everything there is transcendental, but still there's varieties. The impersonalists get hung up, and therefore they think that if everything is superior, there must be no varieties. Because it must be one. How can there be two? If there's two, then that means one has to be superior to another, and there's duality, so it must all be one. That's Shankaracharya's philosophy. We're all one. There's no varieties. Kaivalyam narakayate tridasa pura akasha pushpayati. So the Vaishnava says this one idea of kaivalyam is hellish for a Vaishnava. Giving up variety. Nothing wrong with variety, but it has to be Chintamani variety. It has to be spiritual. Sat-chit-ananda variety. Not variety like here, where varieties of suffering. Even the so-called pleasure here has its suffering. If that's not the case, then why, when they want to have union between the male and the female, why do they take precautions to kill the child and to abort the child? Because they don't want the miseries, but then they get the misery of abortion and the karmic reaction, and then they have to pay for that abortion. It costs money. How much does it cost now? Sure, the price is going up. Inflation for enjoyment in the material world. And that enjoyment, even what they think is enjoyment, is actually a kind of insanity. It's like the scientists who have studied, and the fathers of the world medicine, at least modern medicine, they have studied the characteristics of epilepsy. And they found out, by all the neurological analysis, the brain waves, everything, the effect, the activity of having an epileptic seizure is almost identical with that of the act of having sex. So you might say, well, look, he's having an epileptic seizure. I guess he's in ecstasy. Now, we don't think of it in ecstasy, but that's what's going on. He's and sex may appear like a being, is a person who's having an epileptic seizure. The characteristics are exactly the same. Therefore, they've linked the two. Anyway, I didn't want to get too much into this, but sometimes we have to say these things. This is the scientific evidence. It's not something that we just made up. This is your own scientists, the leaders of your world medicine, have come to this conclusion. Therefore, they recommend celibacy. They do. But the modern sex indulgence with whatever partner you like. So this is your leaders. You can thank your leaders for misleading the whole society. All the children, generation after generation, are being destroyed. why is there such an increase now in mental diseases? This is part of it. So they're looking for entertainment in the material world, but there's no entertainment here. You may think you're going to get entertained, but it will be a brain drain. Your brain will be drained for that entertainment. Isn't there another biological phenomenon that when the black widow's mate, the female, she eats the brain of her spouse? So it's nice enjoyment, but it doesn't last very long. He's getting some pleasure, but he's losing his brain at the same time. So that's exactly what's happening in this material world. We're getting some temporary pleasure, but we're losing our brain and everything is... Whereas on the other hand, the spiritual world is unlimited entertainment, unlimited varieties, and it's all nourishing and it gets better. Anandam buddhivardhanam. Anandam buddhivardhanam means it's the ocean of bliss that vardhanam means that increases. Unlimited, increasing ocean of bliss. In economics, they have another law, the law of diminishing marginal returns. And that means that every time you take another unit of an object to try to get pleasure from it, the amount of pleasure you get from that incremental unit diminishes. It keeps going down. Whereas, and that's why everyone keeps getting frustrated, because they think, this is my first new car, and I got, $10,000 worth of pleasure out of it, because I paid that much, and I got even a little bit more. And then the next new car, the pleasure goes down a little bit, and finally the pleasure keeps going down. Until, don't even care of these new cars there. So, that's the material world. Diminishing marginal return on everything that you try to enjoy. Everything. Because that's the nature of matter. Matter is not meant to give souls pleasure. Matter is dull. How can you get pleasure out of something that's dull and lifeless and has no reality? In a sense, it's a kind of an illusion. Have you ever met someone that wants to tell you about his dreams all the time? Say, I had a great dream last night. How quickly do you lose interest in his dreams? And say, wait a minute, there's another one after that. Wait, I had another one. You say, I don't really want to hear your dreams of illusion. So that's what the material world is. Oh, I won, I have gold medals. You want to see my gold medals? Oh, come on. We know what kind of gold medals. It's all illusion in this material world. How long will those gold medals last? How long will your body last? How will you be able to enjoy those gold medals when you're in your next life? Because you won the gold medal for jumping, now you're going to become a frog in your next life. You won't even remember that you won the gold medal. You can tell all the other frogs, even if you remember, I won the gold medal in my previous... So where is that? It's all illusion. This material world is a big illusion, and the pleasure is an illusion. And the suffering is also illusion. It's not that the suffering's real and the pleasure is unreal. No, they're both illusion. So the philosophers, they try to give up the pleasure too. And that's a good step on their regard, that they realize that don't try to enjoy the pleasure and don't try to enjoy the misery. And that's also stated in Bhagavad Gita. So we have quite some things in common with the the Nirvishesha and Shunyavadi groups. We agree, don't try to enjoy this material world and don't take the suffering so seriously either. But their conclusion is, what to do? Nothing. But that nothing is not very pleasurable. And you can only do nothing if you imagine that you don't exist. Yam raso pyasya param drishtva nivartate. This param drishtva nivartate, the higher taste, allows one to give up the lower things. Because the nature of spiritual activities is actually more pleasing than the matter, the material. That's why we see people join the Krishna consciousness movement who were trying to enjoy matter. We don't see a person who's actually on the spiritual platform ever go back to material affairs. If he does go back to material affairs, it means he wasn't really on the spiritual platform, because otherwise how could he? That's not just a play on words. It's true. If he actually has a taste, there's no question of going back to the material activities again, because he's enjoying on such a higher level, on the spiritual level, that he has no interest in going back. Yadavadi mama cheta krishna padara vinde nava nava rasa damana jyotaruntumasi tadavadi badanari sangame smaryamani bhavati mukavikara sushtuni stivanamcha. Yamuna Acharya, a great devotee of the Lord in the Sri Sampradaya, he used to be a king. And as a king, he had unlimited opportunities for sense gratification. But after he became a pure devotee, he said, whenever I think about those activities, I spit at the thought because I'm realizing so much pleasure in serving Krishna. So we should aspire for that. When will that day come when I have no taste for Maya, for the material activities? We have to go on with our devotional practices, and eventually it will come, just as eventually a child who has no sex desire, but it's inherent within him, it comes out in due course of time when he matures. So when our devotional service matures, then our original, natural, innate love for Krishna will manifest. Well, thank you very much. Questions?
I have two. I don't know if you allow both of them. excuse me. Let me turn the speaker if you don't mind. The recognizing that King Nabi is a great devotee of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada's pointing out another aspect in a couple of different purports in the previous chapter. Here he's saying, although Nabi Maharaj wanted a son like Vishnu, wanting a son like God is also a form of sense gratification. And he's pointing out, like, Srila Prabhupada's words, that he's being illusioned by this desire. And at the same time, in this verse, we're hearing, now he's covered by Yogamaya, and he's just seeing the Supreme Lord as his son, so he's under the influence of the internal potency completely. So would you kindly speak maybe more about...
Yes, because how can you have a son like Vishnu? There's no one that compares to Vishnu. So it's a little kind of a trick that one would want to desire, would desire to have a son like Vishnu. Because he should know. In other words, he should know that there is no one like Vishnu. There is no one on the same platform. But the Lord, because he had that desire, then he fulfilled it in his own unique way by, all right, there is no one like me, so I'll become your son. So in other words, that desire to have a son like Krishna is not bad. It's like the gopis. It is said sometimes that the gopis, they had lusty desires for Krishna. Now, lust is a bad thing. And what does lust mean? Lust means one wants to enjoy his senses. So they wanted to enjoy their senses with Krishna. So is that bad? It sounds bad that they wanted to enjoy their own senses. It sounds like material. But because Krishna was the object, therefore it's spiritual. Whereas Kubja, her desire to enjoy Krishna was similar, but not on the same level. There was some material, some mixture there. Thinking that whatever the mixture might be, whatever the reason, it was not as pure. Nevertheless, she also became purified. That's the beauty of Krishna, is that anything, either good or bad, that has to do with Krishna becomes purified. Kamsa became purified. Putana became purified. All those demons. But generally, their purification is up to the level of impersonal purification. Whereas the devotees, they get higher than the impersonal. They get personal purification. And here Nabi, because he wanted a son like Vishnu, so he's going to get Vishnu, and therefore he was in bliss. It says he's in bliss all the time. Why is he in bliss all the time? Because he had Vishnu as his son. That means if we go to the spiritual world where Krishna is there, either as our son or as our friend or as our lover or a master, we will be in bliss all the time because that's the nature of Krishna. He's blissful. And Krishna, anything that comes in contact with Krishna becomes blissful. Okay. Next question.
Since you gave so much for that, what's a practical approach of not being on the level of any of these personalities? Like, what is the way for us to take that point for ourselves, to engage our desires?
Yes, sadhana bhakti. We're sadhakas. We can't prematurely try to rise up to the spontaneous platform or the elevated platform. That if one prematurely tries to go there, then he'll become corrupted. Because he won't be able to, he's not qualified to be there. So we have to reach the qualification. Just like if you show the child advanced calculus with all these letters and numbers, and they say, what are you putting letters in there? In mathematics, we just use numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Why are there letters? This is a mistake. He doesn't understand that numbers can also be part of mathematics. So you don't even bother to show him those formulas. Let him learn first the numbers, then once he's reached a certain level, then you can go up. So we have to learn the basics first. We're not this body. We're not supposed to lust after all the material things that we see. Have we learned that yet? Until we've learned that, let's not talk too much about, you know, our siddhideha. Any other points?
Can I ask the second one also, or somebody?
Oh, I thought that was the second one.
That was inspired by the
way. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you very much. This is more of like a practical question more of like a situational question for us in ISKCON. Something that I've experienced personally is, as you were saying, being able to experience the higher taste gives us the chance to get rid of the lower taste. And in what Srila Prabhupada has provided for us, you know, all of it, you know, whatever, everything, the temples, his books, etc., all these things, there's a relationship. If you have access to that, there's a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. You're We're taking care of his temple. We're taking care of his books. We're studying his books. We're distributing his books, whatever. So while, this is my question, while we have engagements just given by, like, say, my spiritual master, I feel like I'm losing a lot if I don't also have a personal connection with Srila Prabhupada while I have, I'm in this situation of his institution, because I feel like there's so much of, like, a higher sense of happiness that comes from being here, knowing that it's related to him, you know, not just that I have a relationship with devotees and I'm learning the process, but also that, like, I have, personal, his presence is there with those different items as well.
Yes, the spiritual master is compared to transparent via media, like glasses. If one has defective eyes, then he needs glasses. And when he looks through the glasses, he can see everything. And without the glasses, he can't relate to anything. He can't see, everything's blurry. He can't enjoy anything. So the spiritual master opens up the opportunity to experience Krishna and Lord Chaitanya and the Param Guru, the Param Param Guru, the great grand spiritual master, all of them, Madhvacharya. So everything. That's the unique position, the spiritual master. He opens our eyes so we can see everything. He's the transparent via media. He doesn't interfere with it. He doesn't block anything. It's not that my relationship with my spiritual master means that I'm blocked from Krishna. No, he opens the gate so that we can experience. Mahat Sevam Dvara Mahur Vimukte. The Mahats, the Mahatmas, they open the door to liberation, to Krishna. So it's a material conception to think that if I get too much devoted to my spiritual master, I'll miss out on Krishna. If one does that, then that is a mistake. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tatagaro tasya ite katita hyarta prakashante mahatma. To one who has implicit faith in both the Guru and Krishna, all the imports of the Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. So one has to have faith in both simultaneously, not one. Only faith in Krishna, no Guru. Only faith in Guru, no Krishna. Then there's something faulty. But Guru and Krishna together. Any other points? Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.